As I shared with you last week, I was wanting to start a series on the fruit of the Spirit. And what I wanted to do in this series is not just look at the fruit of the Spirit side of things, but perhaps to look at the opposite or the inverse of that, because that is basically the fruit of the world, or the fruit of an unregenerate heart, or the fruit of someone who is not abiding, like we talked about last week, abiding in the vine. And it's important that you and I, as believers in Jesus Christ, are abiding in the vine. I thought, you know, it was perfect timing when I started this series, because here it is Mother's Day, and the first fruit, the first one listed is love. And oftentimes that would be a theme on Mother's Day, would be love, as it seems perhaps more intimately than in any other case in our lives that mothers show us in some very clear ways of their love for us. You know, I have a question about this, and it's how does a child know a mother's love? It's not just the fact that mother existed and gave birth to them. How does a child know a mother's love? From the get-go, what happens? She provides food, emotional support, interaction, all the needs, including the poopy diapers we talked about earlier. She protects. When danger comes, she intervenes. When a wrong is committed, she disciplines. Love doesn't happen without action. You can say you love someone, but if that has not either previously been followed up, or I shouldn't previously follow up, if it hasn't been an action that gives meaning to that word previously, or after those words are being said, what does love really mean? Just to say, I love someone, doesn't mean anything unless love somehow has been exemplified in some kind of action. The action could be nothing more than even a gesture that meets the emotional need of another person. But love is an action. Love is not just a word that is said. It's more than that. I was trying to come up with the opposite of love, trying to see if we could find, okay, what is the fruit of the Spirit, and then what is the fruit of the world if we are not living and abiding in Christ? And I thought originally the opposite of love was hate. Then I started doing some reading, and I did some Googling, and I looked at a couple other pastors and what they said about love, and they in three cases, the first three I came up on, none of them said hate was the opposite of love. You find that kind of interesting, huh? Because it seems to me hate would be the opposite of love. But they indicated what they were trying to say about this, I think, fits with where I'm trying to go this morning when it comes to this abiding in Christ and what love, the fruit of the Spirit, love really is. Love does. Hate does too. You know what the real opposite or the inverse of love is? Well, it's in the title of the message this morning. It's indifference. Now, I struggle with this at first. No, it's hate. It's hate. Hate's the opposite of love. I always thought hate was the opposite of love. No, because hate does too. Hate sometimes even does because of what someone has done to them, and maybe what they've done to them was a twisted version of someone trying to love, and they respond in some way to that. Maybe it's not at all, because you see, hate is infected by something called sin. Hate is infected by something called sin. And so I want to take a look at this just for a moment. I want to flesh it out just a little bit and hope help you understand a little bit more how I was trying to understand what is the inverse of this, because I think if we look at it this way, we can see that if we are abiding in Christ, if we truly are abiding in the vine, that what is expressed from that abiding is this agape love, fruit of the Spirit. If we're not abiding in the vine, something else gets expressed from that. And ultimately, I think what gets expressed from that is indifference. Love is expressed by action. It's not expressed by word alone. We express care when we love someone, correct? If I truly say I love you, it should be followed by some kind of a caring response. Not just to say as I walk away, you know how we do this sometimes in church? And I've tried my best not to do this, but there have been times in my life that it's exactly what has happened. When someone comes up to you and they share with you a concern and you say, I'll pray for you. And you never pray for them. You've been distracted. You forget. And you don't pray for them. Prayer is just words, Steph. It's nothing more than just words. And sometimes we can do that when we use that word love. Love is an action. We express love. We express care. But you know, hate is also expressed to the detriment of ourselves and to the detriment of others. Hate is also expressed. It's activated by someone else's unloving response, or at least perceived unloving response. Why do people express hatred? Something happened to them. Something happened to them in a very negative kind of way, and they're responding, they're expressing in an unhealthy way what they have just received. What they have probably not received is the fruit of the Spirit. What they probably received is something different than that. But hatred is still an expression of care. But it's care against ourselves, or it's a care against someone else. That's what hatred really is. It's against rather than for. Sin masquerades as caring. It does. Sin masquerades as caring, but it's selfish. Sin masquerades as caring, but it's selfish. And I think you and I, even as Christians, we can kind of look the part in the sense that I know how I'm supposed to look when I talk to you. I know how I'm supposed to act as a Christian. But am I really producing the fruit of the Spirit? If I'm not abiding in Christ, oftentimes I think what I'm doing is producing the fruit of the world, which is indifference. Indifference. You see, indifference is not expressed. Indifference doesn't care, right? If I'm indifferent, I don't care. How many times we live as if I don't care. I don't care what happens to everybody else, but I only care what happens to me. I only care what happens to me and my family, and it doesn't matter what happens to anyone else. You ever felt that way? It's not the fruit of the Spirit. That's the fruit of the world. It's indifference. And at least the way these others spoke of it, they said that's the opposite of love, is indifference. When you talk about it that way, maybe you and I do a little bit less patting on our back about how well we produce the fruit of the Spirit. I do want to challenge us over the next few weeks because when I read that list, and when, let me read it for you, the list of the fruit of the Spirit, I think every single one of us can say, yeah, I express that from time to time in my life. Love? Yeah, I do sometimes. If you're a lovable person, then you're easy to love, so I can love you. I express the fruit of the Spirit. Peace and joy, you know, sometimes, yeah. Sometimes there's peace. Patience, maybe not so much sometimes, but patience, you know. Sometimes I can express that fruit of the Spirit, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. You know, I think what's wrapped around all of those, I almost think when you look at the fruit, because this isn't several different fruits. This is one fruit. It's spoken of as single fruit. I kind of look at love as the skin over the whole fruit, because all of these slices of the fruit, if there's no love, there's no fruit. All of these have to have love to be a part of them, right? Joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, even self-control. That's a love of self and how God has created us. And we love what God has created. And self-control says, I want to take good care of what God has given me. And some of you, I know, struggle with that, even self-love, let alone loving others. But here we are, the fruit of the Spirit. Love, that call it the slice of the fruit, the first slice, or perhaps, as I said, that covering of skin of the fruit, whatever it is, none of those other slices exist, I don't think, without love. If we live by the Spirit, it tells us in 5:16, previous verses that were not read this morning, it says in 5:16, so I say, live by the Spirit, you won't gratify the desires of the sinful nature. You see what's happening here? If we live by the Spirit, if we're abiding in the vine, getting our sustenance from the vine, we won't be gratifying the sinful nature. Hatred won't be a part of what's going on in our life. Sin will not be mastering over us. Instead, we're living by the Spirit. And if we live by the Spirit, fruit will come. God is the one who produces the fruit. He is the one who makes it grow. Not us. He's the one who makes it grow. Any other kind of fruit is fake. Any other kind of fruit is not true fruit of the vine. It's something else, but it's not fruit of the vine. Because the fruit of the vine is filled with God's Spirit. And the fruit of the vine honors God. It seeks no self-glory. So if you and I are abiding in the vine, we're not gratifying the sinful nature. True love seeks no personal benefit. Agape love is love, period. And yet so many times you and I live in a context where love is only expressed if some benefit is received. That's not agape love. I only express love if some benefit is received. And that's the way we oftentimes live our lives. I will love you if. I'll love you but. Or if you do this, I'm not going to love you. And agape love says, I love you. Period. Period. And true love, true agape love, the love that's a part of this fruit of the Spirit, seeks no personal benefit. We are bombarded with the TV and the media and everyone else, and sometimes even bombarded in the church, falsely so, with people always looking for personal benefit in my life in Christ, when it ought to always be about Him and not me. It ought to be about others and not me. Not that we don't care for ourselves, because self-control is one of those fruit of the Spirit. But think about this. Of what benefit to Christ was His death on the cross? Think about that for a moment. Of what benefit to Him was His death on the cross? The benefit was ours. He could have done like back in Noah's day and said, you know what? These folks have gone off the deep end. I'm going to start over again. Maybe not do the flood thing because I said I would never do that again. But I'm going to do something else because they've gone off the deep end. You know, I shouldn't have to do this ugly thing for them. That's not what He did, because He had the fruits of the Spirit. He loved agape love, and He said, I'm going to do this for the benefit of them. The cross was for the benefit of us. So if we want to express the same kind of love that Christ has for us, then whatever we do in our life ought to be for the benefit of others. Man, would marriages change if we lived that way every day? Man, would the church of Jesus Christ change if we always lived that way every day? Man, would our country change if people lived that way every day? The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 10:23, everything's permissible, but not everything's beneficial. Think about that. Everything is permissible, but not everything is beneficial. You and I oftentimes want to live with the permissible, but don't think too much about the beneficial. Years ago, I used a chart when I was trying to explain to kids about how we ought to look at our relationship with God. And that so many times what people want to do, and what I used was a little dot in the middle of this great big circle. And that dot in the middle was God. And then inside that circle was all the things that are, I guess you'd say, permissible, allowable, okay, for us as believers to express ourselves in life. And it still kind of falls under the, it's okay, it's not sinful. And I said what we tend to do as Christians is we want to live as far out to the outer parameters of that allowable stuff rather than drawing closer and closer and closer to the center where God is. And we even want to make the circle bigger so that we can do more things and still fall under the guise of it's acceptable for Christians to do. I said, if we're growing in Christ, what we want to do is go closer and closer and closer to that dot in the middle and not further out to the outer sanctums of that circle that was created there. But yet, that's the way you and I oftentimes want to live our lives. I want to live in the circle, but we're not abiding in God. And our sustenance is coming from self and sin and the fruit of the world, which is indifference. I don't care. True love doesn't seek our own good. It seeks the good of others. How many times you have done something and someone else gets the credit for it? So what? In Christ, so what? So I want to ask us as I close here this morning, it's Mother's Day, and I know we want to get out there and celebrate with our mothers. I want to ask you and I this morning, am I producing the fruit of the Spirit, which is love, agape love, or am I producing the inverse of that, which is indifference? One of them comes from abiding in God, and the other one comes from not caring. You will be driven by what you feed on. And so I encourage us this morning to feed on the Spirit of God, to abide in Him, and ask God to help us to love like He loves, agape love, a love that says, I care more about you than I care about me. That's beginning to understand the fruit of the Spirit, which is love. Let's pray. God, You showed us through Christ. You showed us. It was all about us. You died on the cross, O Lord, for our sin, for You were sinless. And You rose again that we could be with You, that we could have a relationship with You, with God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love. Help us to abide in You in such a way that we truly show that selfless love. And when we find ourselves being indifferent, the fruit of the world, help us to abide again in You. Thank You In Jesus' precious name. Amen.